Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Are you here to worship? Amen. How many times have you gone to a church and you've heard the service start like that? And you know, I'm the kind of person, I just want to get up and throat punch somebody, you know, for that. That doesn't lead me to worship. Good morning. This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. I'm Dan Hurst. There's Mark Halleck. And we're going to talk today about there are things that happen in our churches, and it's because we try to create energy and we try to get everybody really on the same page, and so we have some guy yucking it up on the stage because it's about bringing everybody into this this branch and show for Jesus, and we completely start on the wrong foot, don't we? And today we're going to talk about things. This is actually Jared Wilson wrote something like this, and we thought we got to use this because these are things that we wish worship leaders would just stop.
This is
saying.
Jared Wilson's top 10 list, right, from the home office in Wahoo, Nebraska. His top 10 list of things I wish worship leaders would stop saying. Now, you know what? As we read down this list, you're going to hear many things if you're a worship leader you've said. I've not been a worship leader, but I've led music once in a while, and I've been a pastor forever, and I have said many of these things.
Oh, I have too, yeah.
And sometimes you say them without even thinking about it, which tells you how dumb they are whenever you say something in worship without thinking about it. But these are top 10 things I wish worship leaders would stop saying. Now listen, okay, don't get all bent out of shape. There's some humor in this. This is lighthearted.
That's right.
You know, we're not coming at you saying, you know, you're going to be a reprobate if you do these things, or we're not talking about the regulative principle, and you know, we're going to excommunicate you. And it's just kind of fun and lighthearted. But at the same time, we want you to think about why you're saying what you're saying, and the impact that these simple phrases that we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. What do they really mean, and how do they really affect people? All right, that's what we want you to do. Because actually, we would like you to stop saying them.
Yeah.
Frankly.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
But we're just not mad about it yet.
Right.
So here we go. Number 10. All right, Mark, you deal with this one.
Here we go.
You ready? Here, number 10.
Are we ready to have fun this morning?
Hey, you know what? You yucked it up just right.
And I love what Jared Wilson says. The answer is probably not. The truth is, when you welcome at the start of the music time, it tells somebody where your head is at. Nobody goes to church to have a bad time, of course, right? I'm sure. And some people may actually go to have fun. But actually, that's not the point of worship.
That's right.
It's not about having fun, right? It's not about crushing your music set or rocking it out for Jesus or the band's really hot today.
Yeah.
You know, our friend Joe Kreider, he's the head of the music school at Southwestern Seminary, and he makes it abundantly clear the Spirit of God does not come through a great guitar lick.
Right.
I mean, that's not what moves us to worship. It's not a great guitar lick.
Yep.
And are we ready to have fun this morning? Number 9.
Wait, I got to comment on this real quick.
Yeah,
because
I
was in a church just a few months ago. And the church had their band, and they had their singers. You know, I mean, the whole thing was just wound up. And I'm sitting there going, okay, this is not my way of worshiping. Actually, I didn't even know most of the music that they were singing. They included some rap, which I was not familiar with.
Interesting.
And
you?
Yeah, I know.
No way.
I know, strange. And somebody, I don't know who it was, some staff member walked out, and now this is a a culturally white church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the guy walks out on the stage and he says, oh, man, the band be kicking it today.
Oh, no.
And I thought,
this is painful.
My stars.
That's painful.
We've got to be very careful about the image convey when we are trying to bring people to the foot of the cross.
Amen. You know? Amen. That's right. Okay, you ready for number 9?
Number 9.
Number 9. How's everybody feeling this morning?
man.
Listen, I got just one thing to say about several of these.
Yeah.
Like, the worst thing you can do is be a cheese ball in worship. I mean, younger generations are just allergic to this. Like, I remember on my sabbatical a few years ago, like, we went to a lot of different churches. And I remember going to one SBC church, and this is literally, this is what it was, I mean, this was like. I mean, the worship guy comes out, and how's everybody doing this morning? You feeling good? I mean, this was his line. You know, you sing better when you smile. And I will never forget my son on my left and my daughter on my right looking at me like, Dad, what is going on right now? This is like the worst ever. So how's everybody feeling?
And I love what Jared says. Well, if I really want to stretch to justify that statement, I could say you're asking the congregation to self-reflect on their spiritual condition.
Yeah, but that's not what.
But that's not what we're doing here. How's everybody feeling? Are we having fun this morning? Number three. Well, you can do better than that.
I've heard that so many times.
I'm go out there and go, "Good morning. How are you?" You can do, Amy, you can do better than that.
Oh, man. Nagging people in their singing is not going to help them sing.
That's spiritual leadership.
Yeah, that's
there,
right.
Buddy.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, you can do a lot better than that. Or along with that, the twin to you can better than that is I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. That's number seven. I can't hear you. Wilson says, well, maybe turn the volume down. We can't hear us either.
Which, even though we're being humorous, again, our friend Joe Kreider makes it clear that if your band and your musicians are so loud that the congregation can't be heard singing, then turn it down.
That's right. Turn it down.
You know, there's another element to this, too, and because if you've got people in your congregation that are over the age of 60, it's not that they're cantankerous or cranky. It actually hurts them.
I mean, physically,
it hurts them. And I have people, you know, at our church that just say, look, I'd really like to go to the worship, but it hurts.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to be sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm. And basically when you can't hear people sing or when they're not singing, you know, one time I had a church, I was working with a church, that had a really good bunch of musicians. They really were very good. And the music was really, you would call it quality for a church. And, but the congregation just wasn't singing. Yeah. But it didn't seem to bother the praise band because they were doing a good job, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd pick the songs and they liked what they liked. And a lot of times the songs they picked, you know, kind of emphasized the guitar lick or a certain bridge that these people could sing. So one time I took the iPhone and I put it on the tripod and instead of pointing it to the band, I pointed it to the congregation and recorded it, and I showed it to the worship team, and I said, nobody's singing with you.
Wow.
And it was like, well, you know, they should. So, no, that's not the point.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The point is, if they're not singing, you're not leading correctly.
Right.
That's right, exactly.
And the reason they're not singing is your band's too loud. Mm-hmm. You're singing songs that have bridges and things that they can't follow.
Yeah, it's hard
You've got breaks in there where you got guitar licks. They don't know when to come back in. It's not congregational singing. And listen, if your people can't be heard, then as Joe Kreider says, turn the music down. Turn the volume down so that they can be heard, all right? Yeah. Number six, and just to go back, number 10, are we having fun this morning? Number 9, how's everybody feeling? Number 8, you can do better than that. Number 7, I can't hear you. And number 6, introducing a hymn, here's an oldie we dusted off.
Man. Here's what Wilson says about this one. He says, please don't apologize for leading us in the rare song that is theologically rich and doctrinally solid. Apologize for not leading us in them more often.
No, they might not. You might not say, here's an old one when we dust it off. But I've heard people say something along the line, we're going to sing a hymn now. And so that's really unusual and kind of rare.
Almost apologetic.
Almost apologetic.
Yeah.
I have heard them say, here's an oldie but a goodie.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know.
I love that. Don't apologize for singing an old one. Apologize for not singing them enough.
Okay, here's number 5.
Yes.
Rockin' worship.
Oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. Yeah, we'd be kicking it.
Yeah.
We'd be kicking it.
Yeah. Jared says, I know you got a good drummer and amps that all the way go to 11. But referring to the church music as rocking or rocking it out, is somewhere in the category of fanny packs and duck face selfies.
It's true.
It is true. Man. And you mentioned the cheese factor.
Oh, man.
And listen, I know, please hear me, and hear me loud and hear me clear. The people in your congregation can go to any venue in the city tonight and hear music far better than you're going to have on Sunday morning.
Totally.
Absolutely.
So don't think you're going to impress anybody
with your...
That's not the point, right?
Yes.
And so it's not like, hey, we got the best music in town on Sunday morning. Yeah. We got the most rock. And sometimes, pastors, it can be a point of pride that your worship team is that good and that gifted and that drummer's that good. And if he's that good, you need to let him play. But yeah, again, I see it on social media posts. Pastors will say, man, the band was so good today. The worship set was so strong today.
Yeah.
It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Were your members singing today?
Were they worshiping? That's exactly
right. Were they worshiping? You know, I'm not going to a concert.
That's right.
And by the way, when you even on social media and on your platform, when you praise the music of the band, I believe you're downplaying the singing. Yeah. What you want to say is, man, the congregation sang so well today.
That's right. That's right.
We heard people sing about God today. Because actually, as we said before, when you sing not only to praise the Lord and glorify Him, which you're called to do, but you sing to encourage the person next
to you. That's right, to one another.
You sing to one another. Maybe the person next to you just had a diagnosis last week of stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
And they're having a hard time singing, but you're singing.
That's right.
And they can hear you sing.
Yep.
Or perhaps, you know, you've just had a child that you found out is totally reprobate, but the elderly lady behind you is singing with her full voice,
and that
encourages you.
Yes.
Well, the Scripture tells us to sing to one another in psalms and spiritual hymns.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, and so we're not just singing to the Lord. We're singing to encourage our brothers and sisters.
All right. And then this is Richard and Henry Blackaby's. This is where they land. This is where they live. This statement here. Number 4, quit saying, Lord, be with us today. Lord, we invite you to be here today.
Yeah, what would Blackaby say about that?
Well, Blackaby would say he's always here. Where is he? Out in the parking lot waiting to come in? Has he decided of all the places in the universe where he is omniscient, he's not going to be here today?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to beg him to be here? Of course not. He's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what Wilson says here. This is the worship leader's equivalent of asking Jesus into your heart. I think I know what the phrase means, but it reveals something about our thinking related to worship. For instance, is it true that God is summoned by our worship, or is it actually the other way around?
Mm-hmm.
He calls us. We then respond in worship. God isn't the genie, and worship isn't like rubbing a golden lamp. We don't cause him to come. We don't ask him to come.
Yeah.
Nor is he a cosmic butler to be summoned up. We don't invite the Lord into our space like he doesn't already own it and he isn't already there.
Amen.
And this is a strong theological issue.
It is. Mm-hmm.
So don't ever say, Lord, be with us today, as though this is where we belong and, you know, we're going to invite you in here. No. He is everywhere. He invites us to be with him. That's not a small matter.
No, that's right.
And the other thing, too, is that we're going to perform to please God. You know, no, we don't perform to please
that's
God.
Right, that's right.
But that's, you know, a lot of it's likened to a native tribe somewhere that goes through rituals and dances and all kind of paganistic motions and movements and emotions to get their God to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're kind of doing the same thing in a lot of churches.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we got to do this so God will show up.
Right. Well, and that's number 3.
Well, yeah, but what we're saying with that is we've got to do this so that, number 3, God show up today.
Yeah.
Please, God. Or the equivalent of that is, man, God showed up last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Right, yeah, right, right.
Again, I think, as Jared Wilson says, I think I know what is meant by this phrase. It's a way of saying we felt emotionally touched during the last worship service, which is okay. It'd be weird for Christians to never feel engaged emotionally when worship. But to say God showed up is not true. Basically, we showed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was always here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you shouldn't say, man, last week God showed up. You say, last week, and we really came before him and we felt his presence.
Mm.
You know, our eyes were opened, our hearts were melted, and we felt God's presence. Not, well, God showed up last week. Because guess, you know, what you're saying is he may not show up this week.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, or he may not show up next week.
and also is the mistake that that God needs our worship.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, God, we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You should be honored that we
should
came
be impressed
to
that we showed up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we're here. But it's obviously quite the opposite. Yeah.
All right, number 2. Number 2, going down the list of 10 to 1, the number two thing that Jared Wilson wishes worship leaders would quit saying is, let's give God a hand. Translation is, I'd like to hear some applause this morning. You know, everybody give God a hand clap. Yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah. Why? Praise clap.
Praise clap.
Praise clap.
Let's give God praise
with that. Oh, come on.
It's so forced. It's so corny. It's so cheesy. And again, if you're sitting there, our friend Frank Lewis tells us, as we said, statistically, everybody you preach to on Sunday morning, their life will be impacted by cancer or addiction before they die, themselves or someone they love, someone they care about. People are hurting on Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have someone who just found out that they have a child who's addicted to opioids, and you say, hey, let's give God a hand clap this morning. You're forcing them to do something. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't honor God. And again, here's the bottom line. You ready? Okay. Turn it up. Listen to this.
Turn it up. Great.
Whatever. Turn it up to number 11 on your amp right now. And listen to this. There's one more thing we're going to do, number one, but before we get to there, all of these have one thing in common. You're asking the congregation to respond to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Yep. You're coming out there on the platform and you're saying, how are you all feeling? Well, I'm answering your question.
Yeah.
Are you all glad to be here? I'm answering your question. You know, would you sing louder? We answer you. All of that stuff is asking them to respond to you. We are not in worship to respond to a person.
Mm.
We're in worship to respond to God, and we do that through His Word.
Amen.
So I really do believe the first thing we should do in worship is read Scripture.
Yeah.
And that lets us know. Now, you may have to come in and do some housekeeping. You do some welcomes, some greetings, some announcements, and then you take a few moments, sort of clear the plate. And then I think the first thing that should happen in worship is someone stands and reads the Scripture.
Yeah.
A call to worship, because now we're called to respond to Him, not to a worship leader who says, how you doing? How you feeling? How about those Chiefs? You know, it's great weather we got today. We just fill it up with nonsensical stuff that has nothing to do with God or who He is.
Well, and you know what? It seems to me the best worship leaders are those that are very intentional to try to actually be unnoticed.
Yes.
In fact, like, your job to lead us isn't to be the center of attention. It's actually to disappear,
right?
Because you've led the people. This is where, like, you go to, you know, some older churches, especially in some other traditions, and the choir was in the back.
Yeah, and the organist was too.
That's right. You know why? Because they're not the focus. Right. They are leading. The choir leads the congregation in praise. And so this is a huge issue in evangelicalism.
Yeah, and you know, I get all kinds of people pushing back. He's just an old curmudgeon. So many times I go to basically almost any church you go to today, this is what it's going to look like. And you guys probably just need to tell me, Clifton, you just need to chill out. All right? You're just too wound up, too tight. Go do something else. But I walk into a church many times. Let's say I'm an unchurched person. I'm walking into a church. And oftentimes, the first thing that catches my eye and the biggest thing I see on the stage is a trap set, a drum trap set with the drum cage around it. Huge, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, do they really need all of that for, you know, things? But it's all there. And it's not like that's what I don't know. Maybe it's more than I don't know. But visually, it just says, and it's up there all the time, this huge drum trap set with the drum kit around it, you know, the drum, what do you call that? Cage?
Well, it's the cage,
The
drum cage, yeah.
And a lot of times you don't have any pulpit at all.
Mm-hmm.
So all you see up there is just a bunch of music stands and that big, this is a band. It's like, you know, we're more than, I don't know, that's neither here nor there. Okay, let's go down. We'll go 10 to 1 and then we'll go to number 1.
Okay,
number
10,
once again, 10 things Jared Wilson wishes you would quit saying.
Let's blame him.
Well, it's in his blog. Are we having fun this morning? How's everybody feeling? Number 9. You can do better than that. Number 8. I can't hear you. Number 7. Well, here's an old one. Number 6. Man, this is some rockin' worship today. Number 5. Lord, we invite you to be here. Number 4. Man, God showed up. Number 3. Number 2. Let's give God a hand praise. And then number 1 thing we wish people, and man, I mean this. Oh man, quit saying this. Turn to your neighbor and say
whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. There's really nothing wrong with this approach, except it's a socially awkward for any introvert.
Yep.
This kind of instruction is a huge heaping bowl a panic attack soup for an introvert. And you got someone who comes in there, again, they're new to church. They've never been in church much. What are they going to say to somebody? It's just not, it's forced. It's not natural. Mm-hmm. Turn to somebody and say whatever.
And in my church, wherever I go to, usually where I sit in church, we do this. We're told, go greet your neighbor and so forth. Well, I have to walk 4 or 5 pews to find somebody to shake their hand.
Well, I am such an introvert. Sometimes I kind of wander around in the hallway till the welcome moment is over, so I don't have to.
Well, can I say something about this real quick?
Go ahead.
The other thing is, this really depends on who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the congregation and the tradition. So, like a lot of our African American brothers,
that's true.
This is very common.
That's true.
Turn to your neighbor and say this, and it's not weird at all. Like you'd love it.
Right.
So, a part of it is don't force it. I mean, we're getting back to be authentic, be who you are, and don't force this stuff because you're right. It can be incredibly awkward.
Well, I think more than turn to your neighbor and say something is let's take a few minutes and greet one another. Get up and say hi to somebody.
Do you not have any kind of greeting thing in your church?
What do you mean greeting? What do you mean?
Like, I don't know. Just like, hey, say hi to one another. Do you have any kind of like greeting?
No, we don't talk to each other at all when we come in.
So it's basically just.
No. What we do is at Linwood, we have a time at the very beginning where we welcome people and glad you're here.
Yeah.
But then usually what happens is after we do those initial things, Howie, our pastor, one of our pastors, they'll sit down on the front row. And for about 30 seconds to a minute, there'll be total silence.
Gotcha, okay.
Just gives us a chance to kind of catch our breath.
Yep.
And then the first thing that happens is someone comes up and reads a call to worship, reads a scripture. Okay, now we're moving into worship. But here's what happens. Our sanctuary is connected to our big, greet.
Kind of your fellowship.
Our fellowship.
Yeah.
So we have coffee and donuts.
Okay, so that's going on.
So we have coffee and donuts 30 minutes before worship.
Yeah, okay.
So that's all going on before worship.
Yep.
So in that way, we have a lot of time to mingle and greet because it's in the same room.
Yeah.
And then when it's time to worship, we all move into sanctuary setting.
I got you. No, that's
good. Do a greeting time?
We do, but that's also part of the culture of our church. I mean, this is why I would say how you do, so much of this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we lean into it, but that's the culture of Calvary.
Well, that's because that's who you are.
That's who I am.
Right.
So we would rather err on the side of, man, we are going to take that risk.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people, man, you guys are so huggy and stuff. I said, listen, for every one or two people who feel that, there's 99 or 98 that say, I've never felt so loved.
Mm. All right.
Good point.
For you.
Well, we like to have our visitors stand up and introduce themselves.
That's right. So we can put the ribbon on it.
Visitor
says,
ribbon
first time visitor.
Did your churches do that?
Oh,
seriously?
All the time when I was a kid.
Ago.
Yeah.
Oh,
they did.
Man.
Hey, thank you for being with us today. And hope you've enjoyed this rather humorous approach. But mainly, help your worship team, worship leaders understand. You don't want the people responding to you. Want them responding to God. You don't want to do anything cheesy and silly and anything that's just words that don't mean anything, empty phrases you say week after week that people don't listen to anyway. Hey, I got an idea. How about reading scripture between songs?
Oh, there's
How about pointing people to God between songs? Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.